welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Deng Bior on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. The East African Court of Justice says a move by President Salva Kiir is unconstitutional.
It has done justice for me, and not only for me, but also for the other South Sudanese judges who were dismissed.
Five children were killed and hundreds of houses burned in western Darfur.
UNAMID condemned the loss of life and injuries and displacement resulting from the recent increase in attacks.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The East African Court of Justice has ruled that President Salva Kiir's decision to fire 15 judges, including the Chief Justice, who went on strike in 2017 to demand better working conditions, was unconstitutional. Court of Appeals Justice Malek Matiang Malek, who was one of the fired judges, says the verdict means he and the other 14 judges will be reinstated immediately. Manyang David Mayar reports for VOA from Juba.
Justice Malek says he has been fighting his dismissal before the East African Court of Justice for the last 3 years. Speaking by phone from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, Malek says he is grateful the court ruled in his favor.
It has done justice for me, and not only for me, but also for the other South Sudanese judges who were dismissed, and the whole South Sudanese, because you know the South Sudanese are after one thing. That is the rule of law, that people work in accordance with the provisions of the laws and not just like that.
Malek says he needed to seek justice outside South Sudan since the illegal act was carried out by the president of the country.
The administration of justice is supposed to be done at home and not abroad. But because of the situation, if I open this case in Juba, was it going to come out? And if it was going to come out, how was it going to be?
South Sudan government has accepted last Friday's ruling from the East African Court. According to Justice Ruben Madola-Roll, South Sudan's Justice and Constitutional Affairs Minister.
We have officially been notified of the ruling of the court, which, as you say, is to the effect that the president violated the Constitution of the Republic of South Sudan as well as the Treaty of the East African community members. We accept the ruling of the court, which is by way of declaration. The court has declared the decree that was issued for the dismissal of the judges to be unconstitutional. That's a court ruling. We accept it, we abide by it.
When asked if the government would reinstate the judges, Arol would only say the government is working on implementing the judgment.
We are still working on what sort of implementation of the decree will be here. What happens to the judges, I cannot tell you now.
Under normal circumstances, Justice Malek says sacked judges who win in a court of law would be reinstated immediately. But he says that is not likely to happen in South Sudan.
My assumption, the government of South Sudan will not accept. Because as I have already told you, these people are not for the rule of law. They are just for the rule of their own to reinstate the judges. And of course, we have 14. And if they don't, that is not going to be good with them politically. Already, they have been condemned that they violated the constitution, they violated the laws of South Sudan.
The East African Court of Justice has also ordered the government of South Sudan for money is spent on pursuing the case in Tanzania, an amount which Malek declined to specify. Issa Musamil, a legal advocate and expert on South Sudan and East African law, criticized President Kiir's legal team for failing to give the president good advice.
There was high-level incompetence from the legal personnel around the president because the president is supposed to rely on competent and qualified legal persons to give him a legal position. So if the decision he took was not well taken, then it shows that the people who are close to him were very incompetent. And this is a chance for him to put things right.
Minister of Justice Arol says the East African Court has proven the actions of the president were unconstitutional, and therefore the fired judges must be compensated.
What's to be done is to just make the correction so that the situation is brought back to where it agrees with the constitution of the country. That's all. Everybody has a right to seek that redress, whether before the courts of South Sudan or, in this case, before the East African Court of Justice.
This is the first time a South Sudanese citizen has won a court case against the government of South Sudan before the East African Court of Justice. Malek says any South Sudanese is allowed to file a lawsuit with the East African Court in Arusha, but he cautions that justice comes at a very high cost. Malek was the only judge of the 15 judges who were fired to file a case in Arusha. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
South Sudan's Ministry of Interior says human trafficking exists in the country in the form of forced marriages, forced recruitment into armed groups, and domestic servitude. A co-chair of the ministry's Anti-Human Trafficking and Smuggling Task Force says no clear legal framework exists to address the problem. Waki Simon Mudu has the story for VOA from Juba.
The ministry conducted a study between December 2019 and March of this year to understand the magnitude of human trafficking in South Sudan so the government could figure out how to fight the problem. The findings of the study, the first of its kind, are contained in a report entitled Trafficking in Person in South Sudan, Prevalence, Challenges and Responses. The report says the other forms of human trafficking include sexual exploitation and forced labor. Sabri Wani Ladu, a co-chair of the ministry's Anti-Human Trafficking and Smuggling of Persons Task Force, says the government should immediately enact measures to combat human trafficking.
Traffickers can be an organized crime network, your neighbor, friend, family, members, village chief, owners of agriculture operation, business owners and families, while the recruiters can be girls, can be women, can be boys, can be men, in which most commonly approached by someone who they knew or knew their friend.
The report provided no statistics on human trafficking in South Sudan. Globally, human trafficking is defined as exploitation of men, women, and children for commercial sex or labor purpose by using force, fraud, deception, or coercion. Wani says the UN Global Initiative to Fight Human Trafficking estimates that the annual profit from trafficked forced labor is about $31.6 billion. He says the U.S. Department of Justice in 2010 reported human trafficking is the second largest and fastest growing criminal industry in the world. Wani says under the South Sudan Transitional Constitution, women and child rights are protected and all harmful traditions and customary laws, including servitude, are prohibited. He says while all levels of government are obliged to enact laws that promote human rights and dignity of the person, there are no strong laws in the country to fight the practice of human trafficking. Zon Flippe is Chief of Mission of the United Nations International Organization for Migration in South Sudan, which supported the study. Felipe says the report is an important contribution to South Sudan's National Comprehensive Migration Policy.
Today's report squarely aims at setting a baseline for evidence-based prevention, protection, and prosecution action plans.
Felipe is urging the government to ratify the United Nations Transnational Organized Crime of 2000 and Palermo Convention, which he calls important tools for combating human trafficking. Lieutenant General James Pew Yak, Deputy Inspector General of South Sudan's National Police Service, who released the report, calls it an eye-opener.
Some of the issues that are considered trafficking in persons are some of the things that something to do with our cultures, like the issue of forced marriages and early marriages. These things have something to do with people's cultures. And if you want to change them, you need also to change the mindsets of the people.
The latest global report released by the United States government on human trafficking says South Sudan fails to meet the minimum standards for the elimination of trafficking and is not making significant efforts in the fight against the practice. Yak says that is not true.
Otherwise, if we are not doing something, then we would have not come together launching this report. This is an indication that something is being done.
Wani says the report recommends raising awareness about the problem of human trafficking, such as making people realize that early marriages and forced child labor is human trafficking. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
The UN Children's Agency says 5 children were killed and 9 others injured in an attack on Misteri Village in Sudan's West Darfur state. In a statement released today, UNICEF said 1,500 houses were burned down, leaving families without shelter or basic services as the country continues to battle the COVID-19 pandemic. The joint UN and African Union mission in Darfur, called UNAMID, has condemned the attack. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
The children who were killed are all between 1 and 3 years old. Mohamed Bouasria, the acting country representative for UNICEF in Sudan, said nothing justifies attacking children. He urged all those involved to protect children at all times, which is part of the international humanitarian law and human rights law. UNICEF is calling on the government of Sudan to investigate the attack and hold the perpetrators of violence against children accountable. It also said hundreds of children and families in the area are in urgent need of medical and psychological support. Speaking via WhatsApp from Khartoum, UNAMID spokesman Ashraf Issa says he is deeply concerned about the continued attacks on peaceful protesters, villagers, and camps for internally displaced persons in parts of Darfur.
UNAMID condemned the loss of life and injuries and displacement resulting from the recent increase in attacks on civilians in some localities of North, South and West Darfur. The mission believes that the timing of these attacks is rather unfortunate.
Issa says UNAMID regrets that violent attacks are happening at a time when the government and armed groups are engaged in peace talks to restore stability in the Darfur region and the whole of Sudan. UNAMID has called on all stakeholders to enact measures that will prevent any further attacks and welcomed Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok's recent announcement that the government would deploy a joint protection force to protect civilians in Darfur. Issa says he hopes the force is deployed immediately and that it is adequately equipped and trained to protect all Darfur residents.
The primary responsibility of protecting civilians lies with the sovereign state, the government of Sudan. UNAMID, wherever it is still operates, also conducts physical protection of civilians. As we responded to the incidents in Kutum and Fatabarno, where we have troops.
Issa says Darfur residents have endured far too much suffering and deserve to live in peaceful and tranquility without fear of being attacked under any circumstances.
Most of these attacks are carried out by unidentified armed men, and therefore we have called on the Sudan the Sudanese authorities to apprehend the perpetrators and bring them to justice.
Mohamed Al Nair, an official in rebel leader Abdul Wahid's faction of Sudan Liberation Movement, also condemned the attacks on civilians in Darfur. Speaking to this program via WhatsApp from Kampala, Uganda, Al Nair blames what he calls elements of former President Omar al-Bashir's administration in the transitional government who continue to support the Janjaweed militia in Darfur. Al-Nair is calling on the international aid agencies to intervene and rescue Darfur civilians.
These crimes are an extension of the crimes of Omar al-Bashir regime, displacing the indigenous people and dominating their lands. The Khartoum government is unable to provide security in Darfur, therefore requires the intervention of the international community to protect civilians.
Local residents of Al-Janina town of West Darfur said earlier this week that more than 60 people were killed and nearly 60 others wounded in the attacks on Mestiri village in West Darfur on Sunday. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said the attack on Mestiri was the latest in a series of attacks reported over the last week in which entire villages were burned and markets and shops were looted. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, political tensions are rising between the U.S. and Zimbabwe. Find out why when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what would you most likely to accomplish in life, and how close are you to achieving it?
My dream is to be one of the best filmmakers in Uganda and maybe in the world at large. With time and what I've done so far to achieve that, yes, I know I'm still very far, but I've written some scripts already.
To me, as a software developer, I still have a long way, but hopefully, God, I'll be able to make it.
I want to be a voice for the people who I need and help people generally wherever I find myself. And I think that studying to become a lawyer is in the right direction to achieving that.
I would like to be a very, very great musician, a composer. For now, I'm not close there, but I'm working to get to the level I can actually achieve that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. This month, Sierra Leone's parliament made a progressive step for freedom of speech when they unanimously voted to repeal a law that criminalized libel, journalists in the West African country say. Ahmed Saheed Nasrallah is the president of the Sierra Leone's Journalist Association. He said the libel law was the only law in Sierra Leone that allowed for pretrial detention and that it was mostly used by politicians to target journalists. Nasrallah spoke from Freetown to Ricky Shryrock about what the law entailed and why its repeal could mark a new dawn for the media in Sierra Leone.
The common practice has been that the police will arrest you on a Friday and then they will detain you throughout the weekend. The Sierra Leone Association of Journalists will have to intervene and appeal to the police to secure your release. Because this law criminalizes our work and there is a high possibility for jail term, women are not attracted to the profession. And those who are already in the profession shy away from taking up leadership positions in the media. Beyond that, because everybody involved in the production of the alleged libelous material or libelous publication or broadcast, the media do not attract private sector investment. So I think that the repeal will reverse all of these negatives and open the media up to many opportunities. I think journalists now have the freedom and the liberty to do their work without fear or favor. And this is not only for journalists. We must know that because this law affects everybody, including the citizens of Sierra Leone. So this is a victory for every citizen of Sierra Leone, including the politicians themselves. because people will now be free to express their opinions on national issues and then contribute to the democratic discourse without the fear of being jailed or being detained or of being arrested by the police.
And what are some of the challenges that remain when we talk about freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and journalism in Sierra Leone?
To me, the biggest challenge is the economy of the media. And Sierra Leone, we know, is a third world country, and the economy is struggling. With the coming of COVID-19, the situation is even worse now. So we see in communications that the media is usually a reflection of the society in which it operates. And so we see that the media is in poverty in some way because business is not forthcoming, advertisement is not forthcoming, and the circulation or the sales is dwindling. And there is also the challenge of politics of the media. In our country, and especially in these current times, we see journalists have become attracted to politics, and this is undermining their professionalism as well as their independence.
That was Ahmed Saheed Nasrallah, president of the Sierra Leone's Journalist Association, speaking to journalist Ricky Shryrock from Freetown. In Uganda, free speech advocates are calling for the release of a comedy group arrested last week on accusations of promoting sectarianism. Members of the group, known as Bizonto, were arrested after performing a skit that criticized government leaders. Halima Athumani reports from Kampala.
Artists on social media are using the hashtag #FreeMyTalent as they call on the government to free the four-person group called Bizonto. The comedians, still in police custody since their arrest Friday, have yet to be charged, but police say they are investigating the issue as a case of sectarianism. In their skit, the comedians make fun of longtime President Yoweri Museveni and other leaders. Tell the children that Yoweri Kaguta Museveni is their president and they should pray for him. He came to power in 1986. He's ruled the country for 35 years and he still rules. So they should pray for him because he is the leader. Tell the children that General Eli Tumwine is the head of security. It's a very important position. Because of that, they should pray for him. Nicholas Opio, director of Chapter 4, a human rights non-government organization, says freedom of expression exists to protect speech that makes people uncomfortable. He says to this effect, Ugandans should ridicule their leaders and in so doing discuss serious issues of governance that affect the country.
Artistic expressions are made to lampoon leaders as a way of expressing one's view, and I think it is protected speech. Instead of arresting them, I think we must ask the question of whether they raise a serious issue through their skits. And we must have an honest discussion about equity, about the sharing of the national cake in this country.
The group was arrested at a local radio station. Ofwono Pondo, a government spokesperson, blames the media, questioning why a news organization would start sectarian tendencies as the country moves into an election cycle.
The government is not going to sit by and watch people attempting to break the unity we have fought so hard to build, the harmony, social community harmony we have fought so hard to build over the last 34 years.
The government early this year set up new proposals that seek to vet new songs, videos and film scripts prior to their release. The proposals also demand that musicians, producers, promoters, filmmakers and all other artists register with the government and obtain a license that can be revoked for a range of violations. Artists are taking to social media to urge people to speak up. They include singer Robert Kyagulanyi, who is popularly known as Bobby Wine. He is running for president as the candidate from the National Unity Platform.
I'm reminding all of us to rise up now and assert our voices and defend what is rightfully ours, because freedom of expression is a right. And remember that no creative, no artist is safe. We are all under attack.
Police say they have in their possession dozens of videos that show the detained artists promoting sectarianism. Halima Athmani for VA News, Kampala.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say
we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
And that's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Minewa by Kwabena Kwabena. Listening to Kwabena Kwabena with the song Minewa. I'm Ayen Deng Bior in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Yeah.